Hello, Apostolic Insiders. Welcome not to the Staples household this week. Welcome to the Staples Cadillac. That's what we call our maxi van, big 12-seater. We are on a road trip right now, and so the noise you hear in the background are the cars and a rattly old van. But we are now celebrating the first Sunday of Lent. And if I could sum up the readings this week in one word, that one word is mercy. Let's begin in Genesis chapter 9. Now the reading is set after the flood, when Noah brings all the animals off the ark and God has a prophetic word for him. And he in effect says, never again, never will I bring a flood to destroy all mortal beings. The implication being, no matter how corrupt humanity may become, and let's be clear here, God was entirely just, of course, in bringing the flood, because humanity had become so incredibly wicked in the time of Noah. But God says, in effect, never again. This is a message of mercy, that God will never again basically give us what we deserve. And what is mercy by definition? But the withholding of just punishment as an act of love. That's what mercy is. God reveals himself in this covenant with Noah and all of creation as the God of mercy. And that really leads me to the second point I wanted to make, and that is in 1 Peter 3:18 through 22 from the epistle this week, we have a revelation of God's mercy beyond anything the people of the old covenant could have imagined. And what do I mean by that? Because notice 1 Peter 3:18, and this is traditionally a verse that is used to indicate that at the time of the crucifixion and before the resurrection, Jesus went down into Sheol, the Hebrew word that's often translated hell. It's a holding place that both the righteous and the unrighteous went. Even the most righteous, Abraham, were held there and could not go to heaven until, of course, Christ died on the cross. 1 Peter 3:18 is talking about this. Jesus died and he went down into Sheol, or the Greek word here is phulake, prison, a holding place. And he proclaims the truth that he is the Messiah and he leads those righteous souls to heaven. Well, Peter reveals something else to us. And that is, he proclaimed the word, the truth of who he is, not only to the eight souls. And remember, if you read the readings here from 1 Peter 3, Peter uses Noah and the flood as a type of baptism. He says, just as in the days of Noah, where eight souls were saved by water, right? The water which lifted up the ark destroyed everybody else, but saved those eight souls. He says, eight souls were saved by water, and this prefigures baptism, which saves you now. So there we see beautifully revealed the truth of baptism, and in fact, the essential nature of baptism for our salvation. As John 3:5 says, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. As Ananias said to St. Paul in Acts 22:16, and now arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, right? Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So Peter is here revealing that essential nature of baptism. It is necessary for salvation. However, what else is being revealed here is God's mercy in as much as not only those eight souls were saved. That's right. There, St. Peter reveals that Jesus also proclaimed the truth of who he is to some souls who were disobedient in the time of Noah. This is a radical message of mercy. These are people who were saved even though they were disobedient. Now, of course, there were some who would have been, you know, what we say, who died in mortal sin, and they would be lost for all eternity. But you also had people, and we don't know, doesn't reveal who they were that were saved. We'll only know that on the other side of the veil. But there were obviously souls who had mitigated culpability, only had venial fault, and they too would be saved. And this, of course, is the teaching of the church, that even though the church, and I have to tell you, this is one of the beautiful things that attracted me to the Catholic faith all those years ago, 30 plus years ago, is the fact that even though the church proclaims and without compromise, baptism is necessary for salvation. There's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ, John 14:6. No salvation apart from the church, because the church is Christ extended into this world in Ephesians 1:22-23. So to reject the church is to reject Jesus Christ. And the church has proclaimed that for 2,000 years. She also acknowledges that people can have a salvific relationship to the church even if they don't have a formal relationship with the church. In other words, they've not been formally baptized and brought into the church and received the sacraments of initiation, but they've not rejected it either, and they are seeking God the best way they know how, given the grace of God that is given to them right where they are. They cooperate with those graces. They have the possibility of salvation. We get a hint of this teaching right here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. This is a message of mercy. God truly wills the salvation of all, and this is why we see in the Psalm, in Psalm 25, God's message is truth and love to those who keep covenant with him. His message is truth and love. If you seek God, as Jesus says in Matthew 7:7, ask, seek, and knock, and it will be given, you will find, and it shall be opened unto you. This is the message of mercy that we read today. And in the gospel, we see this so beautifully and powerfully in Mark's gospel, chapter 1. At the very beginning. Now, Mark kind of telescopes the first events of Jesus' ministry. You know, the calling of the apostles, the arresting of John the Baptist, which Matthew kind of spreads out over a number of chapters. But Mark kind of telescopes it all into a nutshell. And he says, Jesus proclaims, and this is his first act, at least according to Mark here, his first act of public ministry. And what does he say? The time of fulfillment is at hand. What fulfillment? The fulfillment of everything is at hand. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Remember, folks, there's no greater act of mercy than the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know from our catechism, right, paragraph 2447 through about 2449, the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. Well, two of those spiritual works of mercy are to admonish the sinner and educate the ignorant. And that is at the core of what Jesus does in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what we are called to do as Christians. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the ultimate act of God's mercy, because it is the gospel St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that is the power of God unto salvation. God bless you.